Blog Talk Radio. Today we'll cover opposite ends of the spectrum, from the fun and festive to the courageous and confrontational. During our first segment, we'll talk with the leadership team that is producing this year's Ebony Winter Gala here in Boston. It will attract some 4,000 attendees who dress up and dance the night away, all with a good purpose. Our second segment will tackle the ever-present subject of sexual harassment, with practical ways to stop the action before it strangles your spirit. It's the hottest topic impacting news journalists to corporate types to Alabama senatorial candidates. There are ways that you can be prepared while pushing off unwanted advances on your job. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thanks so much for listening. We've been away last week doing some client activities and come back, and there's an awful lot of news to talk about. So we've just created this topic for our radio program called Turbocharge Thursday, since we're going to cover two topics today, one that is most immediate, that's taking place tomorrow, lots of fun, party with a purpose, and we have the leadership team that I'll introduce in just a few minutes, and then we're going to switch and talk about sexual harassment because it just continues to be very pervasive in our society, and we have to really bring it to our attention so that you can be prepared and figure out ways how you can confront it on your job, in society, and have a civil conversation about it as we continue the dialogue going forward. So I want to talk to you first about this great event that took place and started literally when I started my business. And now it is a powerhouse here in the greater Boston area. I'm very, very pleased to introduce George Greer and Pummel DaCosta and Leonard Lee. These are the forefront leaders of the 30th Ebony Winter Gala. And I want to say welcome so much to Pummel, George, and Leonard. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All righty. So take us away and tell us, first of all, how all this started way back in 1987. I remember that year vividly.
Well, it started off with NABA. We used to have our regular...
Now, is this, I know there are three of you, so is this George? Just introduce yourself. Okay, George.
George.
Hi there.
And at one of our Christmas parties, which is just a regular party for the organization, the topic came up that we could put together some of the professional group, and because we all have purposes and that we do, and have a joint event. And that was the incubation of the Ebony Winter Gala. And it started off way back then, and it just kept going and going and going. And right now we have eight other organizations, including NABA, of course. NABA owns the Ebony Winter Gala, and we invite other organizations to participate with us. We have the Black MBAs, National Black Society of NSBE?
The Society of Black Engineers.
Yeah. And we also have the Omegas, the Phi Beta Sigma, the Teachers, which is BEAM. We have Black Student, and I think I may be missing one.
YMCA.
The YMCA of Greater Boston. And I think that covers it all.
Black MBAs?
Yes, we have them.
And my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
I can't forget that.
Oh, no. You mentioned one of my organizations, the National Black MBA Association, but Delta Sigma Theta, definitely. We are definitely going to be in the house.
Yes.
So
and
you
all
have collaborated.
Do different things in the community. And we found a way to raise some funds for them to continue the work that they're doing in the community. For example, NABA does a bunch of things, including with students. We do scholarship. We have our annual minority business conference where we bring together the corporate community with students and professionals looking for work. And the other organization have similar type programs where they actually do something in the community. So the sole objective is to uplift the community. And it's important that we understand that we have to always give something back, not just take. And so
right.
I try to
like right.
that all of the groups and all of my membership.
So, again, this is a collaboration. This started with the National Associations of Black Accountants, the Boston chapter, now collaborating with the National Society of Black Engineers, the National Black MBA Association, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Blacks in Government, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, the Boston Alumni Chapter of Black Educators Alliance of Massachusetts, YMCA of Greater Boston, and Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Want to make sure everybody gets their name called so that
yeah.
they'll know
yeah.
that this is really a very important collaborative effort. I know how important name calling is, so we want to get it all out there. So you've grown from, you know, probably a couple of hundred people, I would imagine, during your first year. I've attended a couple of your events, but I certainly am supportive of what's taking place. Now we're talking 4,000 people, and you're almost sold out. Is that not correct?
Yeah, the Nava still have tickets left for today. After today, we probably wouldn't have any tickets there because we are allowing a few people, a few tickets at the gate. But we still have
mm-hmm.
tickets as of today. They could also go online at Eventbrite and look for Nava and purchase a ticket as of today. As of midnight today,
right.
that will be shut down.
Okay, so what people could do, I've actually put that on my website. So if you're listening today, December 14th, you can go to my website, carolcopelandthomas.com or tellcarol.com, go to today's blog, and you can click through to the Eventbrite site where you can buy your tickets online. And I think they're $75, I believe, which is very reasonable for what you get. And George or Pummel or Leonard, tell us what is going to be involved in this spectacular gala.
Well, I'm excited. You know, we're going to have five exciting rooms. We got the Caribbean room. You have to excuse my excitement because this is just mind-boggling. We're going to have the Caribbean room, which we have one of the top East Coast DJs, Caribbean DJs spinning. We got the hip-hop room. We have Jose Maso's salsa room. We have Mo's comedy room. And then we have our major headliner. We have the live entertainment room, which we will be featuring the Price Boys, which is a new group that Mike Bivens of New Edition is promoting mm-hmm. and managing. We're going to have the Rhythm Riders.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing some instructional line dance and with some new and creative steps. And then as our major headliner, we're going to have the national recording artist Nex, who has several hits.
Huh.
So it's really a fun-filled, exciting night. One of the things, we're going to be having a red carpet. And also as you come in, we have this huge
mm-hmm.
ice sculpture commenting the
30th
year. And it's going to be
wow.
just constant flow of excitement and options for our guests to come and partake. There's going to be food. There's going to be vendors. It's just going to be an awesome. Wouldn't you agree, Pramel?
Yes, I agree. We're encouraging everybody to come and definitely walk around because there's so much to see. And the opportunities with all the vast rooms gives everybody a different feel of the night. So it's going to be really, really exciting. Tremendous moment for everybody.
That's great. So this is going to be at the Hines Convention Center from 8 p.m. tomorrow until 2 a.m. And it's going to be not just the great entertainment that you have lined up with these five rooms, but I'm sure it's going to be a place where you can see and be seen. And that's what's so fun about going to galas like yours, is that you go from place to place and you hug and you kiss and you see people you haven't seen in a good year or so, and then you check out all the outfits. That's going to happen too. I think lovingly of another event that has already happened this year, and that is Stepping Out. And the origins of Stepping Out, I didn't realize until I talked with Leonard, are very much aligned with your event. But what's interesting, and again, absolutely no disrespect for stepping out. Another very good organization, great cause. But what I gather is that your organization has grown because of the collaboration and the fact that there it really is multi-generational. So you've continued to have us who are older, but definitely many, many, lots of young people who are also in it. So who'd like to talk about that? Leonard?
Well, you're absolutely right. One of the things that we put our heads together and we started to identify is really not a place where young millennials can come and dress up and, because they really enjoy spending that $500 on their hair, $800 on the dress, and another $300 on the shoes, and don't forget about the nails. So we really was trying to market and build this event very similar to give options of being able to flow to room to room so they can be seen, but also high-quality entertainment, like the structure of Stepping Out. I was involved in producing Stepping Out for 14 years with Ron Laval and Fred Taylor, and the concept wonderful at the time, but as you things have died down, and one of the things we've been able to capture in the past 5 years is really, really grow and see the hunger for high-quality entertainment. And the part of it, as I said earlier, is that it's partying with a purpose, but yet it's at a high level. Like I said, we're going to have a red carpet. We got, I mean, just where people feel good about being in a space that celebrates glam. And everybody likes the whole glam concept. So that's one of the things that we are striving to make it even bigger and better as we go next year.
No, that's amazing. And I know with both of the organizations that I'm affiliated with, one of the reasons why they continue to collaborate with NABA, the Black Accountants, is that it's a great return on our investment. So there is an upfront investment that the organization has to put forth, but they can get thousands of dollars back because of ticket sales. So as long as the tickets are sold, which they're sold very easily with all the organizations, it means that the organization can benefit and receive, you know, X number of thousands of dollars back, which they use for the public service that they are responsible for within their particular domain. Any additional thoughts about that?
Well, let me just comment. I'm George here, and
okay, George.
Again, as I mentioned before, and as an accountant, I always look at the bottom line, and I know that all of these organizations do a lot of things in the community, and of course, some of the things, all of the things that they do, or most of the things that they do, need money. So we structure it so we can spread out the cost among all of the organizations. So by the end of the day, everyone makes at least 100% profit in what they put up, and that money then entails and helps them to support the various causes that they have in the community here in Boston.
And you know, on that, this is Leonard speaking. On that same note, if you think about it from a promotion and a promoter standpoint, this is a very unselfish thing that NABA has been able to do over the years because they understand the bigger picture in terms of if everyone does a little bit, nobody has to do a lot. And so by bringing folks together and being able to celebrate and also help and support the causes that they're doing, and it's not directly related to NABA, but it's directly related to the people of our community. And that's one of the things that NABA is bringing to the table because it's hard sometimes to get everybody at the table and talk the same message. But we've been able to do that over the last 40 years. That has been tremendous. And we're seeing the success of it, of having 4,000-plus people attend our event.
That's incredible. Permel, any closing thoughts as we talk about what's going to take place tomorrow?
Well, I wanted to thank you, Permel. So what I want to say is that we encourage, with this bond that we have, we are empowering all these organizations to grow and to reach higher levels, and we want to continue the growth also with all these groups.
And for people who need
last
tickets who are not online, they can find my address. I think that I may have listed it. I'm right here in Grove Hall. I'm in the center of the community, and they could actually just give me a call and walk in, and we'll have tickets for them today. Today's the last day they can buy tickets.
Awesome. Very good. Leonard, any last comments?
Well, I'm just excited that I get to work with two extraordinary, talented gentlemen who understand the foresight of Uplift. And you know, as we go forward, I hope we can be a beacon and an example to other groups the importance of working together for the common good of us all. But we're going to have a big, we're going to have a party tomorrow, though.
A show enough party. With ice sculptures, red carpet, and a lot of bling. But bling for a purpose. That's great. Thank you so very much for joining us. I appreciate the background information. That was really insightful for me. We've had George Greer with the National Association of Black Accountants, Pummel DaCosta, and Leonard Lee, all working for a great cause with these great organizations that have teamed up together and not only have this event over and over again for 30 years, but they've grown it to the point that there are going to be 4,000 very beautiful people walking around at the Heinz Convention Center tomorrow between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. There are still some tickets left. If you're listening to the show today, I have a lot of people who listen after the fact. We'll also give a push on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter on my pages. But you can go to my website. That's the easiest URL is tellcarole, TellCarole.com. Go to today's blog, click through, and you can buy your tickets online at their Eventbrite site. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Have fun tomorrow, and I know it's going to be a great event, and continued success to all three of you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks again.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye. All good luck. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Okay, you too.
You're listening to Focus on Empowerment by Carole Copeland Thomas. All right, that was a fun segment, and I'm sure it's going to be a great event tomorrow. We now want to talk about sexual harassment, because we have to talk about it, because it just keeps popping up in the news. I'm thinking about, I was shocked yesterday to read the news. I heard about Russell Simmons. I know the stuff that goes on in the music industry. It's not always very pretty. Very talented young people, both male and female, hungry for the limelight, wanting to move ahead with their careers. One thing leads to another, and they compromise themselves, or they find themselves in a compromising set of circumstances of which they just can't say anything because they do want to move ahead. And then you're involved in either a sexual harassment case or a sexual assault case. And the same thing can happen in any kind of industry. Then I also heard that Tavis Smiley was involved in some very inappropriate activities, sexual demands, both from men and women. He is not married. He's been in the industry for an awfully long time. Been a little controversial in terms of his political ideology and his criticism, very, very strong criticism against President Barack Obama, and even an incident that took place when he was holding his symposiums years ago in 2007, I believe, February of 2007, and 2008, that is, 2008. And President, then Senator Barack Obama, was busy on the campaign trail. He was unable to attend Tavis Smiley's event and was going to send Michelle Obama in his stead. And Tavis Smiley said, no, if you can't come, we don't want your wife. Well, that was a real slap in the face of a leading candidate. So he's had some contentious moments there, but it's very troubling and very upsetting to hear and to find out that, unfortunately, it's extended to the demands and the mandatory the types of sexual advances that have taken place. So he's been suspended now from PBS. I don't know if that suspension is going to translate into a permanent letting go where his show is not going to be aired on PBS. I think he owns the rights to his shows, but they're distributed through PBS. So that's unfortunate. Also, Tom Ashbrook, who was connected with NPR, he broadcasts out of the WBUR office studios here in Boston, but it is distributed nationwide through NPR. Same kind of situation, sexual harassment. Women have come forward, and the rest is history, and he has been suspended from his position. On Point is his radio program. So we're seeing this over and over again. And I also saw a chart earlier this week that gave the distribution of these sexual harassment cases. There have been well over 100 leading men, mostly men. I haven't heard of any women, but they're mostly men because, let's face it, most of these cases are impacting women, where the women are the victims and being victimized by men. That is not to say that women are not perpetrators, because they are perpetrators in certain circumstances. So let me just be clear on that, that this does happen to men. It definitely does. It just doesn't happen to the same degree as women. And I teach this information, so I look at the data, and overwhelmingly it has impacted women. And these are women who have come forward, because there are countless people who don't come forward. And I guess the first thing I wanted to address, and I'm actually going to write this up into a blog in the next week, 15 Reasons Why Women Won't Tell. One of the main reasons why women will not say anything, and this could go for decades, and I truly understand why this has happened, is that in many instances, the sexual harassment cases impact and affect young people, young girls, 14 years old, 15 years old, 18, 21 years old, very, very young, and their particular network involves their parents probably and a group of friends, not a very, very big network. And socially, these are young women who are still maturing and growing, and the same thing with young men as well. There is a tendency, if there's not a strong, open relationship with parents, where the parents will believe the children or these young adults if an incident like this happens, and the same thing with someone who is 21 or 25 years old, if there's not an opportunity to go to a trusted adult who will listen carefully and then guide appropriately, it is more advantageous for that young person to keep their mouth shut and not say anything. And that is what happens. I listened this morning to 6 or 7 people who were being interviewed on CNN, and they were all voters of Trump. They voted for President Trump, and they had mixed reactions about what had happened on Tuesday with the election in Alabama. One woman who spoke admitted that she, in her past, had been a victim of rape. And she completely, even though she had voted for President Trump, she did not support Doug Moore. And she believed the women because of her own experience and not coming forth right away. She understood and empathized with the women who have come forth in droves with Doug Moore, with Ray Moore and a lot of these other characters who are out here. If you don't understand that sensitivity in terms of the age of these young people, these young adults, the potential damage it does to their reputations, the stigma that can be there, and just as we're having this debate, and just like I'm hearing these people who are talking about, well, we need evidence, and we need to have videotapes, and we need X, Y, and Z if they're making these claims, and also mixing up sexual harassment, which deals with inappropriate behavior, with sexual assault, which includes rape. If you don't understand those differences, and if you don't understand that these are very impressionable, vulnerable young people in many instances where it is a lot safer and easier to keep your mouth shut, then you don't understand the circumstances that they find themselves in. And you also are not listening to the great debate that's going on social media, on the airwaves, and in private conversations where the belief of these young people is questionable. And the belief of these women who are coming forth is questionable. And if you don't pay attention to that, then you can very easily say, well, I don't know why all these years later, all these women, why didn't they come forward 30 years ago? Well, if you don't understand the context of being a 14-year-old or an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old, and again, how vulnerable those individuals, all of us, can be, then you're not going to have, you're going to look at this situation as a 60-year-old versus someone who is 21-year-old and making the same decisions. So that the context of where we find ourselves is extremely important. Now, I wanted to talk to you again, and we will continue this conversation much into the future because it's just that important. And again, I'm always open and would love to have your comments, your feedback, and also your referrals, because this is the kind of training that I do, is that you have to understand the importance and the impact of power. Because through it all, with sexual harassment cases and with sexual assault cases, you are principally dealing with power. You're dealing with people in very powerful positions or people who are ambitious. Their occupations have led them to a point where their careers are growing. They're getting noticed. They want to be noticed more. And there is indiscretion involved and inappropriate behavior. And it leads to a power syndrome where you have people who are in power and they are using their power inappropriately over interns, staff members, people who want jobs, people who want some influence, people who want something from you, et cetera, and they're using that inappropriately. So the important thing is to understand those dynamics, that sex happens to be the byproduct of this. It is not the main attraction. Power is the main attraction. Power is the main attraction. The byproduct happens to be a sexual encounter. And then secondly is that workplaces, both large and small, are going to have to develop an environment and a framework where from the very beginning, sexual harassment is simply not tolerated. Now, how do you do that? You do that, first of all, through training. And I am absolutely, positively sure that most companies are not doing their due diligence with sexual harassment training. Now, I'm not talking about online check-off-the-box training. That's, to me, that's not as effective, nearly as effective, as face-to-face training. I read an article a little while ago which absolutely verified that, is that you need to be involved in some kind of face-to-face training initiative where specific examples, cases, the legalities, and all of these things can be a part of a very intense sexual harassment training program so that people can leave clearly understanding what sexual harassment is. So training is very important. So you have to invest in it. And if you simply don't invest in it, then you run the risk of having something to happen on your job. And certainly if you have the opinion that we'll just pay the person off, then you're not approaching it well at all. So there has to be that. And then there has to be a constant vigilance, not from monitoring, micromanaging people, but just making people aware of their own level of privacy and safety, and empowering people to speak up and say, no, that's not appropriate. That's not how we function here. That's not how we operate here. So there has to be a climate of empowerment where people feel free to access the powers to be, whether it's human resources or in the executive office, where they feel comfortable and safe coming, having conversations, and getting these issues resolved. And certainly not having a witch hunt, we're not talking about that, but providing the kind of climate where people can easily and from a level of access say no, and then know that there's going to be provisions and training opportunities for people to take advantage of the situation at hand. Keep in mind that this subject brings up old stories. Bad stories that have happened to people 10, 15, 20 years ago. That's what happens with these kind of cases. So we'll continue to talk about this in the coming weeks. It's important. We'll give you some more tips on that. Feel free to go to my website, carolcopelandthomas.com. That's Carol with an E. Lots of information there. And again, this is a very, very important topic that we all need to pay attention to. Take care. Have a great week. And we'll be back next week with a very important topic. Carol Copeland Thomas, signing out.